too many Tic Tacs in the town.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the 3:38 starting time. Please welcome from Toronto, Ontario, Canada, Matthew Wiley. Play away, please.
What's up? A little late, but we're here. Golf Landy 155. Golf Landy 155 on the Matt Wiley, Wiley 77 Golf Landy Network. My network, I own it. You want to be on it? Talk to me. What a great song, by the way. Second week with classical music. That's Ludovico Einaudi. Primavera is the song. In fact, I used that on a commercial shoot once. I absolutely love it. Absolutely love that song. I'll play the whole thing on the closing track. How about that? Just for you. I'm late this week. Let's get this DraftKings. I'll tell you why I'm late. Here's why I'm late. Traveling, big project. Due this morning. I didn't have the mental fortitude to put together a podcast on Monday. This is the first time ever I don't think I've done one on a Monday night. So it feels a little unusual. Because tomorrow feels like Tuesday when it's really Wednesday. I've got to get my list out, TM, and maybe a Periscope. The Periscopes are kind of fun, honestly. I've been doing them at 7 p.m. every week. And I rather enjoy them. Not like it leads to any sort of informational tidbits or insights for you, but whatever. I get my vanity fix, right? I get the dopamine from people watching me. That's what it's all about. That's what social media is all about. The likes, the views, the content, the narcissism. What the hell are we doing? What are we doing? Everything you post is for the dopamine, man. Let's just all be honest about it. Podcast 155. It's real talk. Real talk. We're going to break down the psychology behind social media. So the psychology behind your life. That's the podcast we're doing today. But first, let's read DraftKings. I never pre-read these. I go straight into it. Just let her rip. And we do some ad libs in between. That's what DraftKings wants. That's what they like. Ethan Shibutani, the top employee at DraftKings. Here we go, Ethan. The final 22 teams have made their way down to Orlando and are ready to get back onto the court. While the ending to this year's basketball season will be different than years past, there will not be a shortage of excitement. And there's no better place to get in on all the action than with DraftKings. The leader in one-day fantasy sports. By the way, here's my interlude. By the way, DraftKings is now the official betting partner of the PGA. Well, how about them apples? Well, how about them apples? How about the PGA? And how about DraftKings doing this? The first sport? Innovative, thoughtful, progressive, contemporary, forward-looking. That is good decision-making. DraftKings is a powerhouse. And there's... to celebrate the return... Oh, I almost read the same line again, but I didn't because that's what a pro does. To celebrate the return of basketball, DraftKings will have not one, but two $1 million top prizes through the first 2 days of the resumed season. So get in on all the action now. If you haven't tried it, fantasy basketball, it's easy to play. Pick 8 players, stay under the salary cap, pile up points for 3-pointers, rebounds, assists, and more. There's no better way to put your basketball knowledge to the test to compete for a shot, underlined bold, at $1 million. But if basketball isn't for you, Don't worry. DraftKings is offering plenty of fantasy golf. Here we are. Action for this week's tournament, the WGC. With millions of dollars up for grabs this week, there's no better place to have skin in the game than with DraftKings. Shoot your shot. Download the DraftKings app now and use promo code GOLFLANDIA to get a free shot at millions of dollars up for grabs this week with your first deposit. Promo code GOLFLANDIA. Millions of bucks. First deposit only at DraftKings. $5 minimum deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. I know that's the end of the read, but I know a lot of guys love basketball. Even the like golf types love DraftKings basketball, and they're good at it, real good. Like that guy who is on Alex Baker's. He tweeted out the YouTube video, the bio of him. What's his name? He's one of the top DFS players. Not Wakey Wakey DFS. Something something. Anyway, he's in his apartment in some city. And he's like a statistical genius, clearly. And then halfway through the video, the biopic on him on fantasy sports and how much time and effort he puts in, 60 hours a week, something absurd. He cuts away to this cryogenic chamber in his house, in his apartment, that's neon blue. And he goes and just freezes his brain for like an hour. It's crazy. I did not expect that at 149 of this video biopic of this fantasy player. Just go. I would be microwaving like hot dogs or something. This guy's cryogenically freezing his brain to get an edge. No wonder I lose all the time. Here I am grilling turkey burgers. Yeah, that'll work. Grilling turkey burgers. Finau. Max play. Beep, 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 beep. Lose. So I'm late this week, whatever. I'm here now. Something's happened. I'm late tonight because there is a street sweeper outside. And I could not get sound through this microphone without that street sweeper occupying the airwaves. Firstly, is a street sweeper not the most unusual activity a local government can perform? I don't know how you manage to take care of dirt on streets. That's either not done already by rain and wind, but then also replaced by more dirt the next day. I just think they have these really expensive trucks they bought in the 70s and just got to use them till they expire. Don't get me wrong. I'd love to street sweep myself. That's unusual, though. That and safe touching. I was thinking, we talked about this today, what's more unusual than street sweeping? There's a concept called safe touching. If you really want to go down a dark hole on the interweb, we found this site called like Cuddle Buddies where you can rent someone. This has nothing to do with golf, but it's next. You can rent someone locally, in quotes, to cuddle with you, also in quotes, for a set period of time. And yes, the supply of men available for cuddle buddies is way higher than the supply of women. But one of the things they practice for some of the five-star, and we went down deep on this years ago, is if those who practice safe touching. So if you want to spend an afternoon researching cuddle buddies, the cuddle culture, and safe touching, it's unusual, just like street sweeping. Also, the third thing we talked about was the most unusual thing on earth, was the one guy we hired 5 or 10 years ago who I guess was one of the producers on Spider-Man 3, Lord of the Rings, Star Wars, but didn't know how to get on the internet at our office. And it still frustrates Nathan to this day. There you go. That's the weird things we talked about today. What's the most unusual things we've had in this office? Other than the ghost, the bat, etc. Anyway, on to golf. Did anyone have Michael Thompson in their pool? No. If you did, you're lying. But what I learned from Michael Thompson is that he won the Honda Classic, which is no slouch of a tournament, and he does amazing on the Florida swing. He was second in the USAM too. I think Colt knows, but I still don't have the proper answer. I could have spent a week Googling it, but fuck it. But Michael Thompson played the weekend like a champion should, like you want every golfer that you have the lead on Friday in the super elite class, the JTs, the Rorys, the DJs, the Brookses. You want Michael Thompson play for the weekend. That guy was flawless. Flawless, ton of guts, made putts, made shots that counted. Like that approach shot on 10, the bunker play on 16. I mean, can you imagine that your guy that you're backing, who's short-priced, played like that for 3 days, got the win? Good for him. Good for Michael Thompson. I hope he keeps it up. And he's fit now. And Richie Wierenski. I learned a lot about him. I never realized what a good putter he was. His Georgia Tech coach said he's one of the best he's ever had. I'd always fancied him a ball striker, but he's a really good putter. Get less angry at himself. He'll make less mistakes, but he's close. He's a good player. And then Tony. Where do I go with my relationship with Tony Finau? What do I do with Tony? Do we break up? Do we stay together? Do we go to counseling? Do we make up? Do we get coffee? Do we talk about it? What do we do? Do we practice safe touching? Cuddle buddies? What is it? He's so good. But for that stretch on Sunday, he just loses confidence in himself. It's visible. It's palpable. You can feel it. If he wanted to get angry. And by the way, he's one of the more stylish players on tour, Tony Finau. If he really wanted to lay down the law and show everyone who's the boss, there are not many players that can do it like Tony can. His iron play is elite. Just the few mistakes he makes, decision-making, that put him backwards and give the field the chance. Opens up birdie, had the lead. That should be over at that point for Tony in that group. They should be like, well, he's going to shoot a 59, and he can. Bottom line is here, I am not quitting on Tony Finau. How about that? I will never quit on him. Will he win this week? I don't know. I said that in my ironic Sunday posts about remind me Wednesday that this player wins, which is never right. Yes, it's never right. It's not supposed to be right. No one is right. Anyone who's right doesn't tell you about the 90 other times they're not right. I will tell you all the times I'm not right, which is every week. So no output factory of data can predict what a human is going to do, like Michael Thompson, who just had a wicked weekend. But do I genuinely believe Tony Finau can win? Yes, every week I believe he can win, and I will be there with him until he does. Let's talk to... Well, our DK winner sadly did not get in touch with me. But he had a cool name. What was his name? Matthew. Cornhusker. Cornhusker took it down. Cornhusker 55. Let's get you on another week. Burgard was second. Birdman Suckas was third. Three great names. Burgard is one of my boys. Every week we do a DraftKings contest. This week is no exception. 300 people, $5 entry, single entry, guaranteed money, no rake. None. Meaning you don't pay extra. We don't take any cut and give it to DraftKings. They give you all the money that's put in. Extra rake for slappies like putt sweat. For sure. But that's it. We'll talk to Ryan. We'll do a Periscope tomorrow. We'll answer some questions. We'll have some fun. We'll get that dopamine. We'll fill up our narcissism. Get all the likes, views. Entertain people. Get the laughs. That's the point. Someone sent me a great, by the way, before I leave for this segment. Someone sent me a great tweet from, I guess, the first commercial on the Braves, Atlanta Braves radio broadcast. Because now they incorporate baseball puns inside ads for COVID and healthcare. So the ad was, and I quote, COVID-19 may have thrown us a curveball. Let me read it as a radio ad, as we would. Hey gang, COVID-19 may have thrown us a curveball, but Wellstar Healthcare is still hitting it out of the park. Someone wrote that. An ad agency wrote that and put that on air. That's fantastic. They did that 5 minutes before the ad deadline was due. This guy, Craig Calcaterra, who posted that ad, said, so that's where we are in 2020. I'm just going to start doing that. All right. That was a weird opening segment, but which one isn't? 155 is no exception. Let's talk to Ryan.
Cash take you on the next round. Cream, get the money.
Tiger Woods, yo.
Hey, Ryan.
Hey, buddy.
What do we think of Tony Finau? Let's get this off the
Are we talking about this coming week or the previous week?
Well, just in general, as someone that requires me to take a lot more of my stomach medication.
Yeah.
In general.
Yeah. I thought last week was very interesting. You could tell he was nervous. I think he felt like he had to win that. It was his tournament to win. It was a very bad leaderboard. He was playing great. He was not putting well, but I mean, his iron play last week was absurd. He doesn't make enough putts. He makes mistakes and he's just lacking that winning mentality.
Is that it? I mean, I tend to agree with you, but is there a winning mentality? I guess, yes. It's like he quits on himself. He doesn't believe he should be there. I mean, he just seems to need to get more angry. And go for the throat.
Yeah. I think one thing that's interesting, you know, is he obviously, he came out, he's very highly touted for his length off the tee. He, of course, still hits it far, but like, I don't see him using that, right? I see him laying back. I see him missing fairways. Like you see what Bryson did, obviously, you know, and he's able to hit fairways. But it's like, I feel like with Finau, like his irons are what are carrying him now. And the off the tee game is just not where we expect it to be.
I want to snap that driving iron in half.
Yeah, and he wasn't even hitting fairways with it. So, like at that point,
no.
Yeah. So, like,
it's fine if you're center cut, but
just hit the driver and play from the rough. Yeah,
right.
I mean, I think there were spots last week where the rough was bad. I don't think you're going to find that this week. So, like, sure, why not play Finau again this week where the rough's down a little bit? I would never bet him to win at this point. You can't.
Did anyone on earth have Michael Thompson?
I saw a couple. That? Yeah.
Who?
I saw some random screenshots of bets, some DFS lineups. He was about 1.2% owned, I think, overall.
The winners didn't have him, did they?
Not in the Millionaire Maker. No, they did not.
Wow.
But that's because there was like five guys who were, I think, in a tie for third. So like you get all five of those guys and yeah, you're pretty much there. But that was really cool. I mean, you could tell afterward what it meant to Michael Thompson. One thing that I learned, you know, when they were showing the highlights from his win at Honda and this week is he hasn't aged one bit in 8 years. He looks exactly the same.
Michael Thompson?
Yep. exactly.
No, he's fit too. He got in shape.
He stuck with Ping the whole time. Ping's been his sponsor the whole time. So now that was awesome for him. I mean, life changing for him getting into majors, World Golf Championship this week. So yeah, that was cool stuff.
I will compliment him that's you honestly, even from the best players in the world, you rarely see them play like a champion for the weekend. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was pretty much flawless. He carried that. Everyone was waiting for where's the Michael Thompson moment where everything falls apart, like for everyone else. And that approach shot on 10 from the bunker, from the fairway bunker, when he was going to hit sandwich, he went gap wedge and he hit it to 4 feet.
Yep.
An impossible shot. Just in one of the better shots I've ever seen. That was it.
Yeah, that was awesome. And then the bunker shot on 16. That was one of the most absurd shots I've ever seen.
He's a killer, man. I mean, he won the Honda Classic. He plays well in the Florida swing. He was second at the U.S. Open. He was second at the U.S. Am. I mean, the guy has some attitude to him.
Yeah.
It's just when he shows up.
Yep.
This week, more importantly, 78 player field, no cut event, WGC Memphis. Used to be the FedEx St. Jude. Used to be the Daniel Berger Open, Ryan.
It could still be, right?
Possibly.
It's going to be interesting because of how well he's been playing, obviously. He's coming off a miscut at the Memorial, but if you look back, you know, he doubled the last hole and missed the cut by one. So, you know, that really wasn't a miscut per se. It was just one bad shot. And
this course, it's Memphis in July. It should be hot as fuck.
Hot as hell, yeah.
It's a long par 70. There are seven par fours over 450.
Mm-hmm.
There are challenging par threes over water. There's water in play, I count, on 11 holes. It's very dog-leggy. 11 holes are dog legs. Tight fairways. That zoysia grass makes the ball sit up, so you get some flyers into small Bermuda greens. Actually, some of the smallest on tour. I mean, that's, you know, what, sub 5,000, around 5,000 square feet?
Yeah.
With shaved runoffs. So you understand the history of winners here. Koepkas, DJs, Bergers, Webb Simpson's done really well. Guys who are great scramblers. Guys who are great around the green. So I'm looking for great short game irons elite right now. What do you think, this course?
Yeah, pretty similar. And I think more recently, you mentioned DJ and Brooks have kind of won here, kind of overpowered here. You know, when you're world number one and you have your best stuff, you can win anywhere. But yeah, I mean, looking back at guys who have played well here, it does require iron and a short game. Like you look at like David Toms and Harris English and like those sorts of players. I don't think you need to be long here. I think you need to have good irons. You do need to have a good short game. I think the only other factor for me really is, you know, trying to balance the recent form. And then you have guys looking ahead and just trying to gear up for a major next week. Because this is obviously not an event that precedes a major. Firestone used to, but this one wasn't. So I'm just going to really stick with what we've been doing. I mean, we've been playing the same guys week in and week out. I think the one decision point, well, I think the two decision points are going to be Brooks and DJ, both of whom are underpriced, both of whom have won here.
I think Brooks more so than DJ. If you believe the backstory, not the backstory, but the backspace story with Dustin Johnson, is that the real reason he withdrew from 3M?
No, because he wouldn't be here the week before a major if he had a back injury. Come on.
That's right. So I would agree that those two guys, 93 and 92 respectively, are absurdly priced for a no-cut event, 78-person field, when Brooks won last year and DJ's won previously. So what are we looking at this week? I mean, obviously, this course demands – well, this tournament demands birdies. Mm-hmm. You're in it for 4 days. This tournament demands par four scoring of length, 450 to 500 yards. There are two par fives. So you need to score on those. So you want par five scores. You want approach players, scramblers, good around the green. Did you have a model that you set up? Did you have players that came out of that model, Ryan?
Yes and no. I did a very small one, but I mean, I'm going to weigh like scrambling and like around the green game a lot more than I normally do. And so like, it's, you know, it's spitting out Jason Day. It's spitting out Patrick Reed. It's spitting out Ricky Fowler. So like, if that's what you want to go with it. I don't play much WGC weeks. I will say that I bet Jason Day. So he is one of my top plays of the week.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, the way the pricing's broken down, like it's basically, it's tiers, right? So like you need to figure out which guy in the 95 plus range you like, and then which guy in the 9K, which guy in the 8K, and just kind of go down like that. Right. The bottom of the WGC fields, you know, it sounds great that you're getting these guys in a no-cut event for $6,000, but they're going to come in dead last. It's just the way it goes. So
but
I
are
would
they?
Rather stay more balanced.
You've got our guys Soderberg, Herbert, Bobby Mack.
Yeah, Victor Perez is down there.
Victor Perez.
Yeah, like they're all great, but like I would expect Victor Perez to finish 80th or however many guys are here. And yes, they get four rounds, but like I'd rather gamble and try and get something like, yeah, I mean, you get a Bubba very, very cheap. You get him very, very cheap. Like just play those guys for $1,000 more and go a little more balanced.
You get Cam Smith, who was top 15, 12, 20 last year.
He's been really bad. I mean, I'm not sure what's going on with him, but he's been really bad since the restart.
Yeah. I don't agree. My model, TM, and the sophisticated algorithms that go along with it spit out these names. I didn't probably weight around the green as heavily as you. But JT and Tyrrell Hatton came up 1-2.
Mm-hmm.
Rory Hideki, Webb, Cantlay, Rom Berger, Schauffele, Bryson.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily agree with that. I do think that the way Tyrrell Hatton's playing, the guy hits, you know, absolute linear shots, 0 degrees offline, one of the better putters in the world, and seems to play well at WGCs. I recall him playing recently well at the Mexico WGC.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's a competitive guy.
Yeah.
And him and Webb sub 10,000 is kind of surprising. Webb almost seems like an automatic play, which everyone will be. I mean, he'll be the highest owned, I would imagine. It seems like a Webb-type course. Hatton plays well on the Florida swing. Bermuda greens. He's a great putter. I don't know. I mean, what's your take on Hatton? And Webb's going to be absurd. Probably, 27% owned?
Yeah, I mean, one of these guys has to go overlooked. I have a feeling it's going to be Webb. I think he'll still be played, but I think people will just blindly play Hatton's form. And I think the highest owned guy of the week is going to be Xander. I just think people have people have been playing him. People love to play him, and he's been one of the best stroke gain tee to green the last couple of events. He's historically good in no cut events. You know, I don't put any stock into that, but people do. And I think it's very easy to stack him with a JT or a Rory or something like that. And so I think Xander is going to be 25 to 30% owned. I think Hatton will be probably 20%. So I guess that leaves Webb a little bit lower than that.
Let's look at last week. Not a lot of these guys from last week are coming into this event, but there's some. So I included the ones that missed cuts. And if you look at all 4 days, TD Green, here's the one name that really pops, stands out, even though he missed the cut again. Koepka was number one, if you include missed cuts. Tee to green, Koepka, Finau, Homa, Paul Casey, Michael Thompson. Not sure Michael Thompson can carry that form. I mean, that's a huge wind relief, and he's going to have a lot of, you know, emotional, probably, exhaustion. However, approach, Finau, Thompson. Will Finau be overlooked? Yes.
Yes.
Finau, Thompson, Homa, Casey, Matt Wolf. So, yeah, I mean, to me, it all comes down to every week pricing. Sadly, I did not have Michael Thompson in my model pricing last week. but perhaps he'll be here this week. So if you're thinking about guys at the top, Rahm, McIlroy, DeChambeau, Thomas, Webb, Shoffley, Hatton, but really the top five, Rahm, McIlroy, DeChambeau, Thomas, Cantlay, they probably have to win at that price level, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I think, but it depends because you can play two of them. I mean, you could even stack Rahm and Rory. I mean, you get some kind of gross teams, but I think you're going to have a lot of people who play both. I don't think that's the optimal build this week, though.
What's the optimal build for you this week, Ryan?
Yeah, without giving too much away, I'm going to have have a lot of teams. Well, here, so I'll say this. In our Golflandia Listener League, I'm going to have a team that has three from the 9K, one from the 8K, and two from the 6K probably.
Ah. Interesting. Do you leave money on the table at that point? I'm doing my math in my head.
I'll probably leave 200.
Interesting.
But I think that's going to be a pretty contrarian build because I'm not going to have any of the top five. I won't have Rory, Rahm, Bryson, JT, or Cantlay.
Yeah, I mean, if I definitely not Bryson, probably not Rahm, likely not Rahm, definitely not Cantlay. Webb just seems – this just seems like a player's championship, mm-hmm. three wood, iron, scrambling type course, and he does well here.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I definitely would exclude Bryson and Cantlay first. I think Rory, JT, Rahm are all splitting hairs. If you're going by Vegas odds, they have Rahm a tiny favorite over Rory and both of them a big favorite over JT. But I'm gonna go with the guy who has the short game. So
it would take a lot of rebound from Rory to win a WGC. He just doesn't seem to have that final gear, and he's priced like he should. Rahm, I could probably see it. Bryson, no. JT, I really like Justin Thomas. But Webb for me, here are the players that I believe are priced to where their ceiling could probably hit. Webb, Tyrrell Hatton, Patrick Reed, Ian Poulter, potentially, and then a bunch in the sixes. Chez, Matt Wallace, Phil even, can I believe I'm saying that? Nick Taylor, Cam Smith. Do I play Lucas Herbert, Ryan, for $6,000? All he has to do is top 25.
Yeah.
He's got the skills. He can hit it a mile.
He makes birdies for sure.
He makes a ton of birdies. I don't agree.
I would be worried about his short game, obviously. But if you come to a team that you really like and you need a $6,000 golfer, for sure. But like even with that, I mean, I think there's such a huge gap between, I guess Burned is okay at $6,500, but there's such a big skill gap between the low 6K and the upper 6K. Like you can get Wallace or Louis or Bezuidenhout, who's been playing great, or you can get like Herbert, Hal Tongley, and Tyler Duncan. I just think that gap is probably big enough that like I would sacrifice a few hundred dollars.
It's fair. Hal Tongley, you haven't mentioned him in a while.
Yeah, he was like 4 under round one of the Memorial, and then I looked back and he was +7 and missed the cut. So not
really.
Yeah, not sure what happened there. Yeah, you know, he's the kind of guy, actually, in one of these that could be a very prolific birdie maker. He's going to make some doubles, but like that's a guy who could, yeah, he can get some streaks and eagles going.
So who's your winner this week? And where do you end up with Brooks and DJ?
Winner this week, I think if I just had to blindly pick one with no odds or anything, I would probably say JT. I'm not going to bet him at 12 to 1. The shortest guy that I bet was Day. So I guess he would be my hope and my pick. I am going to play Brooks. I am probably not going to play DJ just because I have a feeling Finau is going to go overlooked. And I'd rather get a fairly low-owned Finau, mm-hmm. Who's in really good form versus a big question mark with DJ.
Yeah, I think that people will be like me, so disenchanted with Finau. But at 9,100, who can make a ton of birdies? His biggest issue last week and every week, and I don't know if this new. I mean, he had to have some emotional. He had to have some thoughts about not having his caddy on the bag for the first time in however long. Mm-hmm. But it seems to me that he just doesn't. He makes some unusual decisions for himself, and I don't know if it's for lack of, like, the par five, was it the front nine? Remember when he hit into that collection area?
Yeah.
It was the first par five in the back nine. That's when he hit his driving iron, and he was 241 in, and he hit into the collection area and parred. Or maybe it was even a bogey. I thought that's the point. He's the type of player that can really intimidate other players with his game. And I just don't know if he steps on it to do that. But at 9,100 for someone like him.
Yeah.
And I will say this every week. He's someone who can win, obviously.
But at 9,100, he didn't have to win. He's going to be my third guy, right?
Right.
So just a top five from him. And yeah, I mean, look, he's not a guy who gets high and low. He doesn't outwardly, at least. He tends to kind of maintain form throughout. If that's bad form, it's bad form. If it's good form, it's good form. But
right.
How much could he burn you in a no-cut event? And if this is a track where Brooks and DJ won, why can't Finau do well here, right?
He's honestly, and I don't want to spend too much time on Finau, but I also do. He's honestly become a much more reliable putter from every distance, especially lag putting. And then cleaning up those 4 or 5 footers for par or birdie. What's been unusual for him, is his inaccuracy off the tee, like the 18th hole where an eagle may have put him into a playoff. So,
yeah,
who's your absolute busto write off this week? Any price. Popular busto write off.
Popular busto. That's a good, I mean, I guess it's Daniel Berger. He's not a $9,600 golfer, and he's certainly not a $9,600 golfer in a World Golf Championship field. I don't care what course you're playing at, like, you cannot pay that price for him. Ever.
No. Mine might be Xander, Ryan. It's definitely Bryson. I mean, but that's obvious.
I never get Xander right. I'm going to play him this week, so that's a warning to everybody. But yeah, you know, I just have a feeling that this is going to be one of those World Golf Championships where it's like none of the top guys are there, and you see like Xander and Reed and Day and Louis and like Bubba and just a bunch of crap. So not going to play too much this week. But we have better events out there.
Right. Who's our winner?
For which one?
Who's our winner for the WGC?
I'll stick with JT.
Okay. Did I already ask you that question?
Yes.
Okay. I think it's going to be Webb. That's a stupid answer. It's got to be Brooks, right? I mean, he was.
I just don't know if he can go from crap up to a win, but like could see him being fourth or fifth.
He lost 5 strokes putting last week. I mean, that's not going to happen again on Bermuda.
No, but he might lose one, right? But
right. Yeah,
I mean, I expect him to be in contention at some point this week.
Here's the other fifth major, the Barracuda. It is Stableford, modified Stableford. Which is just, I mean, it was it Montreux last year?
Yeah, it's been at Montreux and now it's somewhere else. But
which I find Montreux to be one of the most visually stunning golf courses on the PGA Tour. I wish they play that every year. I don't know much about Old Greenwood, but here's Mike's notes, and I skipped them for Memphis, but I'll do them for Barracuda. Old Greenwood Golf Course, Truckee. This is Mike Miller, Smart Golf Bets. Greensquare.golf. For all your form, course form, historical form, all tours, all players, all around the world. Greensquare.golf at Greensquare.golf. Promo code Ryan Barriff. Old Greenwood, golf course, Truckee, California, beside Lake Tahoe, 40 hours drive from Disney World.
Oh, very nice.
2004 Jack Nicklaus signature course, pristine undulating resort track, a combination of mountain forest lands and high desert brushland, par 72, 7,400 yards, but I guarantee there's altitude, and there is 7,000 yards. So 7% further at sea level. Water and play in six holes, bent grass poa, friendly 1.75 inch, but a fairly mean second cut of rough. Greens are bent grass with poa, average 5,300 square feet. That's kind of small. It's all birdies and eagles. I picked out three players blindly based on form, based on their skill level, recent their skill level, based on their recent play. Can they make a lot of putts? I have three. Cameron Davis, who I think has one of the most underrated swings on tour. Maybe he's not rated yet, but it's absolutely magical. Have you seen his swing?
Oh, it's great.
Sam Burns,
mm-hmm,
and Chalky, but Alex Noren.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
where are you?
Yeah. I think everybody's basically on all the same guys. You know, I bet Schwab like everybody else. I just think, you know, he was number one tee to green last week for everybody, which, you know, isn't a huge surprise to us. We've been seeing him do that on the Euro Tour for a year and a half now, and just struggles with the putter. I think this is the type of event that he can contend in. And of course, you know, being in Austria, he's used to the altitude. I think he'll adjust to that very easily. I did also bet Cameron Davis at 60. He was my first bet of the week. I just felt like, you know, he's been playing pretty well consistently, played much better last week. And, yeah, we've seen him win before. Sure, it was an Aussie event, but it had Jason Day, it had Jordan Spieth, had some people in there. Yeah, I mean, beyond that, I took one long shot, Chris Baker, who's just been playing pretty well, and I think 175 was just way too much for him in this field. If I had to pick someone at the top, you know, Noren probably makes the most sense, but for some reason, my gut is telling me it's going to be Brendan Steele, and he was like...
Why?
He's won. He's won these things. He's won Safeway a couple of times. I think he's won four or five times on tour. His ball striking recently... the iron play specifically has been out of this world. I mean, there have been multiple rounds where he was gaining 3.5, 4.5 strokes on approach, and he's not scared to go low. So Steele is probably my guy at the top, but, you know, I'm not betting Brendan Steele at 20-1.
No.
Ever. But, yeah, I mean, more importantly, you and Pat need to pull some strings here. How the hell can we not get a DK contest for Barracuda? It is the same shit, the same scoring, just with pluses instead of minuses, very easy to do. And there's a max of a double bogey in this event, which is the same as DraftKings. There's a max of a double bogey. If you get a triple or a quad, it's worth the same number of negative points. How can they not figure this out?
Have they done it historically or no?
No, they've never done it. And it is so easy to do because they're just pulling all the data from the PGA website anyways.
Right.
But they're just too lazy. Like, they could have – I guarantee you, they could have filled – a millionaire maker for the Barracuda easily.
Mm-hmm.
This is what.
Yeah, I mean, the field is actually very strong and a lot of known brands. So I agree with you. They could have done it. I don't think a lot of people love no cut events. These WGCs, I don't think they play a ton.
Nobody loves them.
Plus you've got your Burnses, your Grillos, your Wierenskis, your Siwoo Kims, your Stallings. I mean, all these guys can put up birdies. McNealy, Wyndham Clark, hello.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to see some low scores. Like, even a guy like McCarthy, what a motherfucker he was on Sunday.
Yes, he was.
He can make 10 birdies in a round very easily.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If he learns how to putt again after I put the kibosh on him.
Burns, Davis, Noren, Brooks, Webb.
You forgot one that I think you have to bet, just considering he's done so well in these opposite field events. Your guy, Josh Teeter.
William Clark?
No, Josh Teeter.
Oh, Josh Teeter, yes.
Almost won Barbasol, almost won Puerto Rico. Like, you know, let's root for him.
I love Josh. Yes.
He Josh played well, Teeter. Too. I mean, he's been pretty solid. And he should have won Puerto Rico if Hovland didn't make that 25-footer. So
no, he's a very good player. Yeah. I mean, he's a very good ball striker, and he's a very good player. All right, man. Is that it for this week?
There's a Euro, man. It's kind of a crappy feel, but do you have any takes over there?
What are yours? Because I do.
Yeah, you know, so I think what's really interesting is we have Thor Olesen back after his
little hiatus.
Little drunken escapades. So that's an interesting one. No, I mean, this is one of those weeks where I'm just going to play as many of the British guys as I can. I mean, they love these events at home. So, like, you look at Eddie Pepperell, you look at Andy Sullivan, you look at Aaron Rye, like, pretty much going to play all of those guys. In terms of bets, there really wasn't much that I liked. I bet a couple long shots, but I think at the top, I'd be down to either Rasmus Højgaard, who I don't like the price this week, but, you know, he's won recently. He played great last week, so I think that would be one. And then Justin Harding. I think he is a class above most of the guys in this field. He's one of the few guys, who's actually a good putter, which you don't see much of that on the European Tour. So, like, his ball
strike. But strangely, his putter let him down last week. It was very unusual. He missed, like, a two-footer that really put him backwards.
Yeah, no, for sure. But he's a guy, I mean, obviously, kind of world-class player. He was, he was top 15 at the Masters last year. Like,
yes, he was.
I'll bet anybody like that here. And I trust his putter. So I think he'd be one of my favorites at the top.
Paratori won last week. Our guy.
Yeah, maybe Guido will pull some inspiration from his roommate, and he wins this week. That'd be cool.
I'm a big Oliver Fisher fan.
Yes.
I really can't describe his game, but
he makes mistakes. That's his game.
Well, so does everyone on the Euro Tour, but he seems to show up a lot.
I mean, he's a perfect example this week. He is, I think, undervalued for anyone playing DraftKings. Yep. And he's, kind of local ties, makes a lot of birdies, played pretty well last week. I mean, you just have to, again, you got to put up with a guy who is not a great putter and have to catch him on a good week.
I'm waiting for Minwoo Lee to work his game back to where I know it can be. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you that perhaps the best pitcher and chipper in the world, not on the PGA Tour, is Dale Whitnell. It's the first time I've ever heard of this guy.
Yeah.
He was absurd.
He's one of the long shots that I bet. He's 150-1. And like I looked back, he had like five straight missed cuts before last week. So it definitely popped out of nowhere. But he did win a Challenge Tour event last year. So at least that shows that, one, when he's in contention, he can close. And two, like, yes, that's the Challenge Tour. But like the Korn Ferry Tour, there are still a lot of really good players there. So
he has shots, man.
Yeah, I just want a guy who has won before. So, it should be a fun week. I think, again, a pretty weak field because of the World Golf Championship and the PGA with all the majors coming up. But it's just great to have golf back and have a few different things to watch, especially early on a Saturday and Sunday morning.
Højgaard, Oliver Fisher.
I like it.
All right, man.
Talk soon.
Bye-bye. All right, in close, I was just writing down the names of the people I like. For now. And Burns and Davis. Quickly. I was DM'd by Richard Loy over the weekend. And he shared a post with me about a guy who contributes in the fantasy community. You know him. He's just a very familiar name. I mean, he's been around for as long as I've been doing this. His name is Reed Wilson, and he's struggling with some terrible health conditions right now. And he set up a GoFundMe. I just want to make you aware of it. I don't know Reed personally. I reached out to him. Yes, I donated. I didn't do it for vanity reasons. I didn't do it to get noticed. I did it because here's what I do. Every time, like, I just put myself in that position of what it'd be like to be in need, to be sick, to need help, and what it would be like for someone in the community, people you don't know, to help you out. And what would that mean to you, and how would that make you feel? about humanity being good. And I just would, you know, I don't envy a situation. I just say that because if you feel like donating a couple bucks to read, you'll find it on my timeline. I retweeted it from Richard Loy, and that's that. So any way you can help him out, fantastic. Put yourself in that position, though, and it's not enviable. And I hope he does get better. Closing, short podcast, brief. Limited time to write, as you can tell by the quality of content this week. I'm going Barracuda first because it's the fifth major. Burns, Davis, Noren. Bam. Do I go Webb and Brooks? Do I go that chalky Webb, Brooks, JT for WGC? And Højgaard, Fischer. Højgaard, Fischer in Europe. That's all I got. That's all I got. Close out with that wonderful classical music from the beginning of the show. Bye-bye. Have a good week.